Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Today's episode is sponsored by By Heart, which is an infant nutrition company built from the ground up to deliver real innovation on behalf of babies and parents. Their mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. In our house, we never skim on family time together on the weekends. Instead of racing around crazy, we prioritize time at home, time to relax, time to do fun, crazy things that we wouldn't have ordinarily. And you know who else doesn't skim? By Heart. By Heart is the only American-made infant formula with globally sourced ingredients to use organic, grass-fed whole milk without a drop of skim. Whole milk is full of healthy fats like naturally occurring MFGM, which play an important role in babies' brain development and growth. Are you curious about By Heart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code name Zibby20 for a limited time.
Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, and I am the host of this podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. I am also a newly minted USA Today bestselling author of the novel Blank. I've created a whole community of book lovers around this podcast, a publishing company, reading retreats, a bookstore, and more. Learn more at zibbymedia.com or follow me on social at Zibby Owens or join the community at Zibby Readers. Philippa Sue and Maris Pasquale Doran are co-authors of Piper Chen Sings. Philippa Sue is an actor and singer, best known for originating the role of Eliza in Broadway's critically acclaimed Hamilton. Eliza! Earning her a Tony nomination, did you like that? A Grammy win, and an Emmy nomination for the award-winning film on Disney+. She has also appeared as Cinderella in Into the Woods on Broadway and Guinevere in Aaron Sorkin's Broadway revival of Camelot, among many other plays and musicals. She stars in the film adaptation of Taylor Jenkins Reid's best-selling novel, One True Loves, and voices the moon goddess, Change, in Netflix's animated feature, Over the Moon. On television, Sue can be seen in Hulu's Dope Sick and in Apple TV Plus's Shining Girls. She resides in Brooklyn with her husband and fellow actor, Stephen Pasquale. Maris Pasquale Doran, who is her sister-in-law, LCSW, has always loved listening to and learning from people's personal narratives and has evolved her career in social work to include writing and creating her own characters and stories. Piper Chen Sings is her first publication. She continues to work as a private psychotherapist and is an adjunct lecturer at Columbia University's School of Social Work. She lives in Maplewood, New Jersey, with her husband and two young children. Reading to them is always her favorite part of the day. Okay, welcome. Today we have Philippa Sue, who I just found out goes by Pippa, and her sister-in-law, Maris Pasquale, am I pronouncing it right, Doran? Yes?
Pasquale, yep.
Pasquale Doran, who are the co-authors of this fabulous new children's book, Piper Chen Sings, which is beautiful and inspiring and so useful for anyone with any sort of stage fright. Congratulations.
Thank you.
This wanting to feel the flap of the butterflies thing is really relevant at any age, because so many things can cause these butterflies, not just the singing, which of course is, I think, one of the bigger messages of the book, right?
Exactly. Yeah. When we were devising, you know, what this idea would be, it became very clear that yes, though it was about stage fright, it was also about feelings and having big feelings in general, as we see from all of our young friends out there. There's a lot going on and there's a lot to discover about your body and your feelings and your emotions. And so it became really important to us to make sure that, you know, this book was able to display a very specific story and a very specific character and her own experience and give them tools to be able to deal with all of these big, big feelings.
I meant for parents.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Young and older.
Yeah. Forget that's these it. Young people with big feelings.
Yeah, what about us?
Yeah. We're the one reading the thing over and over. Anyway. How did you two decide to collaborate on this and everything?
Well, at least on my end of it, it sort of started with I did an afterword for the Eliza Hamilton children's picture book. And that was also through Random House. And, you know, at the time, they were basically like, if you ever have any ideas for a kid's book, you know, just reach out. And of course, I think like many artists and like many people, I had a huge amount of imposter syndrome. How could I ever be a writer? You know, what I do, I interpret and I enjoy taking on leadership roles in rooms. I really felt like, ooh, like, I don't know if I can do that. You know, it was scary and vulnerable. And I think, you know, about a year or so later, Maris and I, as we are sisters-in-law, we were at the annual Pasquale Christmas party, Christmas Eve party to be exact, and just chatting about children's books and how amazing it would be to write a children's book. And I think I was like, well, let's do it together. let's try and write one. Why not? And I think that's
very organically.
Yeah, I think that's why writing was always scary to me, because it's something I love working with people. And it's something that you, for a lot of people, you have to do alone. And so the idea of collaborating with Maris, who I think is not only an incredible woman, a very smart woman who understands stories very well, but also is a mom and has a perspective that I don't necessarily have as someone who doesn't have kids of my own. And I was like, yeah, let's collaborate. This is going to be, we'll see. We don't even know what it's going to be. Let's see. Let's just throw out some ideas. At the time, it was like 2018. There was a lot of things happening in the world. And we just felt like I felt like I really wanted to have something that could reach out and help young people, because I could see the world around me and how intense that was for me. And thinking to myself, oh man, I wish I could give something to young people. Also kind of stemmed from this idea of, I get asked a lot in interviews and by fans, what would you tell your younger self? And so for me, this book was kind of an answer to that.
I will not ask that question. I promise.
But Maris kind of has her own way into it as well.
Yeah, our collaboration certainly came through that organically, and that fun, right? I mean, truly just at the Christmas Eve party chatting and hanging out, and I was inundated in picture book world at the time, as I have two young boys. They're just under 2 years apart. So I was reading often, you know, and in that phase where they were beginning reading, and I put that in quotes because they were sort of memorizing, and that gorgeous experience of reading picture books that are more lyrical and fun and almost poetic, and they're finishing the sentences, and it just was the best part. I said this in my bio, and I say it all the time because it remains as such, even though they're older. It's the best part of the day reading with them. It's such a nurturing, loving, intimate time, quiet, a little less stimuli. It's a really beautiful and special time and something to experience. And as I said, I'd been really inundated with these titles and these beautiful pictures and this medium. And it had fun kind of creating some little ones of my own or little vignettes here and there with them, which Pippa knew and said, gosh, you know, to your point earlier, Pippa, I get asked this all the time. And this is something I have this opportunity through this relationship. And what do you think? And we had a blast. I mean, in the beginning, I think it was more just like an excuse to grab dinner. We were like, let's just get together a lot and have fun. And we were shooting for the moon. Our ideas were all over the place and really centering in on Piper as a character, because as Pippa says, that time in the world was unique and hard for many. And, you know, I'm a psychotherapist in my day job, to be able to bring some of that into this book and to be able to center a Chinese American character and a female felt really important for us, for kids who see themselves in her and kids like my two boys who do not and yet have similar parallel experiences, whether it's stage fright specific or going to the first day of school or camp or whatever the new experience is, or being a mom and a professional and having your very first podcast, right? Whatever it is, this is a
are there some butterflies flapping around your Zoom screen today?
They're settling once I begin to speak.
Yeah. such a coincidence.
Yes. Very, very meta.
Maybe one of you should explain like the plot of the book.
Yeah. So the story is about a young girl named Piper Chen. She loves to sing. She'll sing, you know, all over the house. She sings on her way to school. She sings while she's in school, very quietly if she's in the library. And she loves her singing, her music class in which she is singing in it. And her teacher asks her if she wants to sing a solo in the spring sing, which is coming up. And at first she says, yes, very excitedly, and then starts to realize she's having these complicated feelings about what that will mean, i.e. the butterflies. And through going to her loving Nai Nai, her grandmother, and asking what she should do about these butterflies, she gets a tool which enables her to be able to deal with these feelings that she has. Not to spoil the ending, but she's able to realize that she has a choice in the matter and that she can hold many feelings at once, being excited and being scared, and ultimately have the autonomy to make a decision for herself about what she wants to do with those feelings.
Wouldn't it be funny if the end is that it was like horrible and traumatic and she like never and then that leads into like your therapy practice and we fast forward and she's like in the chair.
Exactly.
This one time with the spring sing. Yeah, exactly. We have said often though, you know, for some kids, the brave choice is not doing the thing, right? Yeah. So like, you know, a real intention of being aware of self and what feelings are coming up for you in various moments of your life to help inform how you can be empowered to move forward and move through it. And for many people, those butterflies are this really beautiful, innocuous, telling you something exciting is ahead, like our Piper. And for some, it may be a different experience and indeed not doing the thing or doing the thing that's different from maybe the rest of the group may be the brave choice. So it's, you know, it's a joke and a funny one, but it really is true that maybe that isn't the ending for all and that could be okay too. And just to be aware that we're all kind of individual and listening to ourselves and being aware of what does come up for us was an intention we have that, you know, the grownups will probably see a little more than the kids in terms of plot line.
I wrote this whole essay at one point about I'm married for a second time. I mean, it's been like 7 years, but I wrote about how when I was dating my current husband, we had this whole thing where he was talking about butterflies. And I'm like, you know, they go away, right? Like, this isn't going to last. And he's like, don't crush my butterflies. So we still like joke about that. And, you know, you really, sometimes you want those. Sometimes you want the little flappers to stick around.
Well, another question that I often get asked is like, what do you do if you're nervous? Because I have a lot of young people who I think love singing and it brings them joy or performing or there's something that brings them joy and they feel nervous about it. And I'm like, well, quite frankly, for myself, my nervous feelings oftentimes come to tell me that there's something exciting happening. And it's because I care. It's really actually because I care that I'm nervous as opposed to I don't want to do it that I'm nervous. But that's like a feeling that I had to assess and look at and examine myself. You know, for them, they might be nervous because they have a legitimate stage fright. And you know, and like, that's okay too. But, you know, I think when we were crafting this book, it became really important to us that we not only just gave a tool, but also like a way for people to help themselves, like in their lives when these butterflies come up, like what exactly that means. And there's science out there that tells us like once we acknowledge something that is making us anxious, giving us like nervous feelings, that these feelings can dissipate among just the simple act of acknowledging that it's a real thing that it's happened. So that was sort of our goal when crafting the story, because we were hoping that it didn't feel like something that was prescriptive and like something you can do all the time. And every time you feel nervous, this is exactly what you do. You know, we really wanted to work hard to make it interpretive and specific to her own experience so that it could be in its specificity, have this universality, right?
Well, it's good because a lot of advice is what you have to do, right? Like take 3 deep breaths or, you know, there's like all this stuff, I guess, to your point about being prescriptive, but having an attitude shift around it and like welcoming the butterflies and being like, okay, you know, maybe they get to a point where they're like, okay, I'm here. I'm waiting. You know, maybe you start giving out nets, right? So you have to be ready to catch them ahead of time. So then it comes and you're like, oh, phew, here we go.
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, I love where you're going with it because the metaphor could keep going, right?
I know. Like, I'll stop.
No. I love it. I'll add to that to say, like, you can catch a butterfly. You can look at it. You can examine it.
Yep.
can actually like ask yourself, like, why am I terrified of this? But the minute that you just like try and shoo them away and pretend like they're not there, that's when they're going to come back full force.
Right. Right. They're not mosquitoes. They're beautiful.
Yes, that's right.
Right. Yeah. This would be a totally different book if you were swarmed by locusts or something. Do the two of you have plans for more books together?
Yeah, perhaps. We are hopeful to be able to grow Piper and her world. If that's an opportunity for books, that we've certainly, between the two of us, have a lot of ideas and themes and concepts about what she and the characters in her world could do and go and what else we could put out.
And is Piper actually going to sing somewhere? Like, do we get to hear her?
Also something that we're thinking about.
Okay. All right.
There will actually, I can say this, there will be an audiobook version, yeah, which will be available in the near future, probably around the same time that the book comes out. And
same release, yeah, April 2nd.
Yeah, same release. And you know, we're definitely incorporating music into that. I'm going to be narrating it. So, you know, the Piper Chen sings will definitely have elements of music to it, and I will be narrating it. But yeah, we've definitely been thinking a lot about, in the vein of, what else can Piper be? You know, there's a lot going on with this little girl, and she has a lot to share. So yes, there's music involved, and we hope that there will be more.
I still think you could fast forward and make a novel about her, you know?
Oh, ooh. I like that. You know, we've talked about that.
Okay.
It's interesting. I mean, you've written a children's book as well.
Oh, thank you for even knowing that. But yes, yeah, I did.
Of course.
And I'm just curious, like, compared to writing novels, like, when do you know if an idea, aside from the fact that, like, it's about a child or a child is involved, like, when do you know if an idea or a story is meant to be a long form or meant to be short form?
That's a great, great question. Especially that you have a release this week, don't you, Zip?
I do. Look at you.
Congrats.
Guys, thank you so much. Thank you for researching who I am. That's really sweet. I appreciate it. I would say it has to have a lot of like what if threads going off it to be a novel. It would have to say like what happens when this huge event in Pipichen's life gets derailed, like how many areas of her life is that going to impact and why, and like what is going to be turned around, you know? Mm-hmm. And then once you go there, that could go anywhere, right? Then you have so many places to take it, don't you think?
So her canvas is just much, 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 much bigger in terms, yeah, of the risk. So that's a great insight,
and then
actually,
it's fun to think about her, you know, does she lose her grandmother at some point? Like, that's such a lovely relationship.
Yeah.
Like, when her grandmother became a citizen, like, that was so beautiful. Is she, like, in her office later in life with, like, some sort of certificate
exactly,
on the wall? Or,
exactly.
I don't know. I am so sorry. I don't know why I'm even going off on this whole
thing. No, I love it. It's all in the vein of world building, which is something that I'm obsessed with. And I think, Maris, you're also obsessed with just this idea that stories can take you to so many different places, even if it's just one character.
Yes. And so much better than it being like, don't be nervous. Right? You're getting on stage. You know, I heard myself saying that to one of my kids the other day. Like, I'm so worried about sleepaway camp. And I'm like, oh, don't worry. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the worst advice ever. I take it back.
But that's okay, right? Isn't that the number one thing we're learning as moms, is to be able to say, like, actually, I'm rethinking that.
Yes.
And indeed, that's my stuff, because I hope you're okay and know you will be.
Right.
And yeah, exactly. Like, I work on that every single day. I've got two young boys, of just holding the experience with them.
Yes. That's hard for people who want
that's hard.
Is to just go away.
That's hard. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Pippa, did you ever have stage fright? And as Hamilton got more and bigger, like with so many people even watching it, who were like such big deal people, like, does that freak you out ever? Like, do you get butterflies when you perform now?
Yes, I get butterflies all the time. I mean, in, you know, different varying levels. I think that I've gotten way better at managing them. I mean, you know, I used to say it was just the difference between how much time it took me to laugh about it is the like measure of my progress. So, you know, getting super nervous or doing a show and then coming off stage and feeling like, that wasn't a great show, or, you know, about to step on stage and feeling like, I am so nervous. I feel like my guts are going to explode. You know, like the amount of minutes it takes for me to laugh about it after the fact is just my measure of how successful I am in handling it. You know, like growing up, I think I just tended to be more of a perfectionist, like checking the boxes and like getting the good grades. And it took a long time for me to understand that progress isn't always just, you know, checking a box and then, you know, wiping your hands clean. Like, I did it, success. Mm-hmm. That there will be things as an artist, as a person, really, that you will come up against that you won't necessarily be able to get rid of, mm-hmm. but you have power and autonomy and control over how you handle them. That's really the only thing that you have control over. And then maybe one day my nervous butterflies will go away, or there'll be like a whisper of what they were, you know, 10 years ago when I was first starting out and I was trying to like prove myself to the world. Mm. It was just really, really valuable advice that I got. And, you know, I was so lucky with something like Hamilton, which was very much a part of my start in this business, that I was just surrounded by people who, you know, had been doing it for longer than myself and had really great, healthy perspectives on how to handle all the ups and downs, all the butterflies, all the storms and the rainbows and the sunshine and the highs and the lows. Like, it's a lot. And, you know, you have to be an aware person to be able to handle all of it.
And Maris, do you, in your practice, like, have your regular go-tos of how to help people get through things like that?
Sure. I mean, I'm very mindfulness-based in terms of my therapeutic approach. So, I mean, before every single session, we set our space, we set intention, right? We do that sort of practice of slowing down, of anchoring, of being grounded. And I encourage them all and anyone, because in my personal life, it's been such a gift, right, to have a mindfulness practice. And that can really help, because as Pippa's saying, just that awareness of what's happening for you, and to be able to say, well, how much is this allowed to drive, right? So maybe I'm feeling anxiety, maybe anxiety is coming up, and being aware of that, because almost every single person that I see professionally or personally is managing their emotional reactivity. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much, you know, that's a big theme for most people, parents, certainly, but all human beings, right? And so being aware of what's going on for you and as it's coming up, as well as the physical self, right? So we usually don't go from 0 to 100 like that. Things are sort of building, our tension's coming. And so to sort of know who you are in various environments and see those symbols and signs that are kind of speaking to you, and to say, okay, I may be anxious. Hi, you're allowed to be here with me. You're allowed to be in the car. You can't drive, right? That sort of concept of how to say, okay, you're here. And also then, as Pippa's saying, right, let's interpret that. What does that mean? So are these nervous butterflies, which is most people talk about in this really innocuous and in fact really beautiful way, or is this, you know, some sort of trigger of a threat, really, mm-hmm, something mm-hmm. that's going on? And have those synapses been formed because we have fire alarms going off when they shouldn't? Do we have a little bit of a faulty system? And then where there's a lot of work and some cognition, et cetera, on reframing that and on rebuilding? Or indeed, is that a response that's totally appropriate? And that is indeed how you want to be in your life, right? So many people pursue therapeutic intervention for some sort of crisis or change, but most of us would really benefit by just understanding, how are we built? How did we get here? What are the very, very, very unique circumstances that led me to this exact place and moment? And am I moving forward throughout my life in ways that make sense for me, that I feel good about, right? My communication, all of those pieces. So, and the biggest thing I think that I say 1 million times a day, no doubt, and that comes up in our book with Piper, is that seemingly conflicting concept of two emotions that seem in conflict and that truly do coexist, right? So for her, it's feeling both very nervous, a little scared, and extremely excited, and this thing that she really, really loves. And most of us, children and adults alike, have that experience oh so often throughout our lives, where it feels like two competing concepts. Indeed, they really are. And that we have this ability as humans, as beautiful humans with this high functioning brain, to truly have both at once and to be able to sort of sift through and just be aware of both of those things and say, well, which gets to lead my action?
Well, I am going to book an appointment with you. Either for myself or one or all of the kids, take your pick on a given day. I found myself like my shoulders like literally relaxed as you were saying all that. I was like, oh, I have like an inch.
Oh, good. Well, wouldn't we all benefit? I mean, I work on it every day in my life, right? Wouldn't we all benefit of just even taking that extra breath between meetings, or that breath before we react to the child, or sitting in traffic, you know, whatever it is, to just say, all right. And it doesn't mean suddenly we're like zen and walking through the world all calm. Not at all. In fact, I'm absolutely an emotional labile human being, but that's okay. That's who I am, and I'm comfortable, right? But to be able to say that emotional reactivity is not working for me. So indeed, where does it root from, and how do I maybe shift some of that?
So how does your husband slash your brother feel about this book and the collaboration? And was he a little bit nervous that you guys were getting close and like what was going to come out? Is there any of that?
He's so excited. I think more than any other feeling, he's just like, I just can't believe like two people that I love so much are, first of all, just getting along and also like creating something together. Like, I have to say, like, I'm going to get mushy now, Maris, but this has been so meaningful in just in getting to know you as a sister and as a friend, because, you know, we've really been able to be vulnerable with each other in a really beautiful way. And it's been one of my favorite collaborations that I've ever had. And Steve, he's just really excited. If anything, he's like so jealous that we're talking all the time, man. And we're hanging out without him. You know, he likes to hang. We like to hang out with each other. You know, that's the beauty of this whole family. But yeah, it's been so meaningful. And to get to see that reflected in Steve has been also so meaningful, because I see him see how special it is. And it's always a lovely reminder, you know, stepping outside of my own head, getting to see that in him. It makes me feel so grateful.
I feel the exact same way. You know that I do. I hope that you know I do. But it has just been an absolute joy. We joke, it's the most fun we've ever worked. It's such a joy. Every single step of the collaboration has been fun. It's been a really surprising aspect of this process of like, this is just a blast and we're having a great time. And Aunt Pippa is such a huge role in my kids' life. So to be able to talk to them about it and have them watch us and what we're building and all of these pieces, it's awesome. And it's fun on the side that I can text Steve after we have a moment and be like, I really appreciate the intro to my writing partner.
Wait, Pippa, and I should know this, I guess, but do you have siblings?
I do. I have an older brother.
So now he should write a book with Steve.
Yeah,
that's right.
Exactly.
And yeah, we can have a whole series.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody, one big happy family. It'll be perfect.
All in the family.
Having written the book, do the two of you have advice for aspiring authors?
Ooh.
Find an amazing partner. Find a partner like Philippa Sue. If you have the chance to collaborate with Philippa Sue in your life, take it.
The three people out there are very excited to go forward with that.
I'm teasing. I think, you know, a big piece is one thing that was really awesome for us in terms of how it worked for us. So it may or may not be helpful to others. I thought that something that was wonderful, and it speaks to you, Pippa, and to our partnership, is that we were able to be totally vulnerable and throw out all kinds of ideas, right? We weren't paralyzed by that one, that thing's not good, or I don't know, or how would you react to that? Or what do you think? Or is this too out there? I mean, this came down to Piper Chensing's, but it began as sort of this whole world and concept. And we went a number of different directions before we landed on this specific plot line. And to be able to just put anything out there and throw it at the wall and really have a vulnerable, awesome brainstorm together opened up, I think, a lot of our creativity, a lot of our collaboration, made us feel safe together, made us have fun together. That beginning, I thought, was really pivotal to setting the foundation for really what a joy it was through the whole time, and hopefully ending in the place that we're really proud of the book itself.
Yeah. I feel like my advice would be, because I've always been an interpreter in my creation, mm-hmm. and so creating something, and it really, like, when people say this, it's really true. Like, it feels like your child. I don't know if you ever felt like that about your own book, Sibby, but you have this child, right? And I think the metaphor is just because it's coming from you. There's so mm-hmm. much in it, but you also have to allow it to be what it wants to be.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It will organically lead you down roads, you know. People often asked Maris and myself about, like, what was your process like? And, you know, like, the first things first, we had to do most of it on FaceTime because it was during the pandemic. You know, we couldn't, like, wait those 2 weeks to get that test and, you know, make sure that we were completely COVID free. So we would, like, meet weekly, biweekly, and it would sort of just depend on, like, what was floating, what ideas we were running with. And it sort of, it, like, at a certain point, the piece was letting us know what it needed. Mm. You know, there was a lot of, like, putting ourselves into it at the very beginning. And then once we had something, it really felt like, and Maris, tell me if you agree, like this level of flow that just sort of indicated what, where there were holes, you know, where ideas were incomplete, certain things, like, for example, language surrounding acknowledging your feelings and the conversation around, like, okay, so we want to make sure that everybody knows that this is specific to Piper, that mm-hmm. just because you're feeling nervous doesn't mean, like, something exciting is happening, that it could mean that. And how can we get specific about the language? And so there was a lot of intention put into tiny little teeny tiny moments, which sometimes took a whole session where we were on FaceTime for 2 hours talking about how the language should be, you know. And then there were days where it felt like, you know, just paragraphs and like, you know, all these stanzas, like, came out of, like, a week's worth of work. And, you know, it ebbed and flowed. And I guess my advice would be, it's going to have ups and downs. It's not going to look like what you think it's going to look like, but you do have to have a certain amount of care and intention, but be open to let it change and guide you to places that maybe you wouldn't necessarily go to.
I love that. That is all fabulous advice. And I hope that you do something with the beautiful artwork, like the butterflies and the end papers and all of it is so gorgeous. I hope it becomes a wallpaper, or I don't know what you're going to do with it, but I'm obsessed. It's absolutely beautiful.
Well, a huge
Chin Lang.
Yeah. Chin Lang is our illustrator. And she really, I mean, we had an idea of what we wanted and she really just, like, brought it to life. The color is fabulous. Each kid has their own personality. Seeing Piper for the first time, I mean, it was like something coming to life. We were like, oh my God, she's real. She's a real little girl. And that's all because of Chin's amazing.
She's incredible.
Wow. Well, fabulous collaboration all around and great book. And it was so much fun getting to know the two of you and wishing you all the best with this fabulous new launch. Exciting.
Thank you so much, Zibby. Congrats to you.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.